Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Praise the Lord, 1, 2. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. I missed some of you in the driveway. Did I get out? I didn't miss you guys. Did you come in later or earlier? Early. Man. Whew. Jesus. We are so excited this morning. We have some an announcement for you. How do you guys like announcements? We got an exciting announcement for you. As you know, that we have been overseeing the church in Canada for about almost a year in November. And we were up there 2 weeks ago, and we were able to sit down with the pastors. And here's the announcement. They're doing it at the same time right now in Canada. And is they are now officially a His Tabernacle Family Church. So they're actually taking the name and everything. So it'll be histabernaclefamilychurch.ca. So our very first church in Canada, that's a His Tabernacle, and I believe that we'll be able to sweep across Canada all the way from east to west and start really seeing God move across Canada with the same culture of His Tabernacle Family Church, amen? Which I believe is the culture of heaven, amen? I don't know if you missed uproar, but if you missed uproar, all I got to say is you missed it. It was awesome. Last night, man, watching these hundreds of teenagers jump in, shouting, not for 1 hour, not for 2 hours, not for 3 hours, but for 4 hours. I'm talking like I was tired just watching them. And we cannot say thank you enough to all those who helped and served. Many of them did not get out till 2:30, 3 o'clock this morning. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you all who sowed into the ministry. Many children were baptized in the Holy Ghost, spoke with other tongues. And many children, young people got saved, transformed. It was just a supernatural weekend. So next year, listen, next year, if you've sown into that, what you want to do is sneak. You want to sneak. Don't tell them you're coming. Don't tell Josiah I said that. Sneak in and sit in the back or something. But you can't miss the uproar. It is that life transforming. Amen. I'm going to have my wife open in prayer.
Father, we just love you so much. Thank you for the privilege of coming into your presence where we get to worship and celebrate you. We love and adore you so much, Father God. Now we enter into praise in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Let's enjoy Jesus. Amen. How many of you are saved in the room and born again? How many are blood washed by Jesus, set free by the power of God? Then you got a reason to shout this morning. Can I hear an amen? Let's let heaven know.
Lift up a shout of praise. Hallelujah. He's a good, good father, isn't he? Wow. Woo! So amazing. All right, come on. Let's clap our hands. Let's move around a little bit. Let's give him some praise.
Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father,
I surrender all.
How's it going?
Well, anyways, please take your seats and get ready for the upcoming announcements.
This year, for the first time ever, we are hosting a vacation Bible school. This is going to be super exciting, super fun, and I want to invite you to bring your kids, your aunt's kids, your cousin's kids, and your next door neighbor's kids. Sign up at histabernacle.com/VBS. Also, if you would like a chance to volunteer, go to the His Kids check-in desk and find out how you can be a volunteer that week.
Woo! Hey, HisTab peeps, listen, we want to let you know about Growth Track. This is our four-week course that we have happening every single Sunday from 9:30 until 10:30. Listen, if you want to know who we are and where we're going and how you can get involved, we want to help you discover what God can do through you.
If you want to take your leadership capabilities to the next level, then I would encourage you to join our Next Steps classes. At the Horseheads campus, our classes are Tuesday nights at 7, Wednesday mornings at 9 a.m., and then Thursday nights at 6 p.m. At the Mansfield campus, our classes are 7 p.m. on Tuesday nights, and at the Ithaca campus, they are Thursday at 6 p.m. I want to see you there. there, and I want to see you growing and able to lead people after these classes.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church and His Tabernacle live stream. It's always good to be in the presence of God, amen? I hope that you came in this morning hungry for God to move in your life because He is already here in this place. The word is going to be sent forth, and we know that it always produces fruit, right? It never returns void. So you're in the right place at the right time. Turn to somebody next to you and say, you're in the right place at the right time. If you are a guest in the house this morning, we're going to ask you to lift your hand. We have a gift for you. We want to be a blessing to you. Directly after this service, on this side of the building, we have a guest reception that we would love to invite you to attend. It's an opportunity for us to get to know you, to be able to develop a relationship. We are a relationship church because Jesus is a relationship Savior. Amen. And we'll have snacks, coffee, some refreshments, but really it's about getting to know you and you getting to know us. So please come right over again to this side of the building directly after the service. We would love to meet you. So Uproar Conference, can I hear a hallelujah? Hallelujah. It was life changing, eternity changing. Hell is shaking in its boots. It was powerful. If you were a volunteer at Uproar Conference, can you just stand quickly? We want to honor you. Amen, amen, amen. You sowed your time. Many of you sowed your finances. You may have a seat. When you take time out of your busy schedule to serve the King, you not only serve those around you, but really, did you know that you're ministering to your Savior? That's a ministry unto the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. So we thank you for ministering to our King through your service and your time. We have Vacation Bible School starting for the very first time in His Tabernacle history. We are so, so excited. Now, we saw the revival happening in the lives of the teenagers last night. But we know that we could even start revival in the hearts of children from kindergarten or before and up. The Bible says the children will lead them. And so we want to make sure that we are ministering to children, teaching them the word, teaching them how to move in the supernatural giftings of the Holy Spirit early. That way they'll walk in it forever. So this is happening, I believe it is August 12th through the 16th. And if you would love to participate with that, again, ministering to our King by serving others, we would ask you to go to the His Kids booth out in the foyer or see Pastor Aaron. We need lots of people that love kids. Another great opportunity to earn crowns in heaven to throw at your Savior's feet. I would like to invite Pastor Rhonda up for our tithes and our offerings.
Amen. We love ministering to our community. I just want to really quickly also plug Matthew 25. We do this every single week, Wednesday and Thursday. Listen, we need your help. I got the opportunity to go in and teach No More Hurt to first through sixth graders this past Wednesday. And it's an awesome, awesome ministry, but we need hands and feet that can help participate. You don't even have to like kids, all right? You don't even have to. We need people that can grill, that can set up, that can tear down, that can clean up. We have passionate teachers that are preaching the word of God to these young people, but we need some manpower and some muscle. So if you're interested in that, Tammy, don't kill me, but stand up real quickly. I need you to see Tammy Sumi to help out with that. Get involved. Jump in. In this house, we love talking about finances. You know what? It was Jesus' favorite topic when he was on this earth. Look at it. He talked about money more than anything else. Because why? He wants you successful and prosperous in your finances. It's what you spend all day earning, and then you pay the bills, and you spend the money. Your life revolves around finances, and
blessed and prosperous. And the way that happens is through obedience to his principles of successful stewardship of your finances. And in Leviticus 27:30, it says, bring all the tithe of the land to the Lord. All the tithe belongs to the Lord. And in Malachi 3, it tells us, so the tithe isn't what you sow into the guest speaker. It's not what you give to uproar. It's not your alms. The tithe is for the storehouse, so that there will be enough in my house for every good work, so that the house can run and function and we can see souls saved. So the tithe, and the word tithe simply means 10%. I didn't make up that amount. I didn't pick it out of a hat. The word tithe means 10%. And the word of God says the tithe is holy to the Lord. So if you're ready this morning to give your tithes and offerings, stand to your feet. We'll make our supernatural declaration. We love to speak because there's power in your words. There's life and death in your words. So today we're going to speak life over our finances from Deuteronomy 28. And it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord this morning. If you're watching via live stream, you can click on the giving button or even text to give right along with us. Just praising him. He is so good. Pastor Spencer is down now at our Mansfield campus. They are getting to have him preach for the very first time. But in this place we have this morning with us, and he doesn't even need introduction in this house because he's like family, Brother Ted Shuttlesworth, to bring the word of God.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, let's give Jesus a hand this morning. Give him all the glory, all the praise. He's wonderful. Father, we thank you for your anointing in this house today. We thank you for all you've done over these last few days. Thank you for every life that's been forever touched and changed by your Holy Spirit. We love your anointing. We love the power of your presence. We ask you today to open up the windows of heaven over this house. Pour us out a blessing we don't have room enough to contain. Let it overflow into our homes, out of our lives, into somebody else. In the mighty name of Jesus, we expect great things to take place. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And if you believe it, somebody clap your hands and shout amen. Amen. You can be seated today. I just want to say a big thank you. A big thank you for me. I know they did it from the church and the ministry, but I've had the privilege of being here at every Uproar conference and before it was called Uproar. What do we call it back then? What was it? Rage? Oh, Ignite. Rage. I didn't remember Rage. People just come in angry. I've got to be at youth camp. I can't believe this. Ignite. That's right. We ignited them. And I've gotten to see the growth. That's kind of the unique thing for me, is that being here since the beginning, it's been amazing to see the growth and watch the increase that God has released. You know, we started in this sanctuary and started with, how many came the very first Uproar? 300. And then it just grew and grew and grew and grew. And to see the hand of God on what he's doing. You know, I started prophesying last year. It's not a conference. This is a movement. I started singing that. And I believe that. And last night, how many were at the service last night? Raise your hand if you were. You saw what took place and what God's getting ready to do. It's going to hit this place. And I prophesied to Cody and Mindy that they would not just be leading multiple events throughout the year, but God's going to have them oversee other leaders. And other leaders are rising up under them, coming alongside them to help. And Uproar is going to be a part of a mighty move of the Holy Ghost that sweeps through this nation before Jesus comes. Amen. And we're going to be a part of that and see what God's doing. It's exciting. So I want to say a big thank you to every person that gave their time and took time away from their family, their home, free time, which we know is not even a real thing anymore in 2019. What is free time? You know, it's like, well, when I get some free time, there's no such thing anymore. People just think there are things there to take your time. But to sow your time, I want you to understand something. Everything you release from your life is a seed. We talk about seed, we just think about financial, sowing an offering. It's more than that. Every word you speak is a seed. Everything you do with your time is a seed. And so when you sow your time into the things of God, I believe God gives you more time to do what you need to do and what you want to do. Do you know I truly believe this? When you sow time into the kingdom of God, you won't have to work three jobs to make ends meet. Oh, man. You won't have to kill yourself to try to get everything to go where you want it to go. You'll actually be able to do less and accomplish more. Hallelujah. You won't have to work as hard as everybody else. That's not what the blessing's all about. You get redeemed and then you still have to do what everybody else does so that you can... No, no, no. The redemption that you have from Christ makes things different for you. And I wrote a whole book on that. It's called Blood on the Door. That's what I'm talking about. Your redemption makes everything different for you. And I believe that's going to be your portion and your story, is that as you've given your time... And think about this. Think about all that you did as a minister. This was as a minister. You know, it doesn't matter if you were just there locking up or sweeping the floor. If you were there just helping watch things going on, you were ministering on behalf of the kingdom. Think of the lives that were changed because you were willing to minister. And so understand this, volunteering is more than just throwing a hand of help to the church. Volunteering is ministering on behalf of God. And God watches. Did you know the Bible says God has a book of remembrance in heaven? And he's watching. You know why? He wants to pour out blessings on all those. You know, God's keeping a record because he will never have you outgive him. He's keeping your name in his book. He said it's a book of remembrance, and I'm watching to see who's dedicated. And I love this scripture. I'm not preaching on it today, but the verse of scripture in 2 Chronicles 16:9, the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord are constantly searching to and fro across the earth to find people whose hearts are turned toward him. And when he finds them, he will come and show himself strong and mighty on their behalf. I'm telling you, get ready, because that's going to be your story. God's showing up at your house, on your job, with your kids, with your family, and he's going to show himself strong and mighty on your behalf in Jesus' name. If you believe it, clap your hands and give Jesus all the praise. Pastor Mike said this morning that in an act of protest, he's not showing up for when I preach, and I understand that. No. It's exciting to see what God has used Pastor Mike and Rhonda to do, and now I know other churches have come under that are all over. There's churches in other nations that are under this church, but to see these plants that are coming out of this church in Ithaca, and it's Mansfield's in Pennsylvania, isn't it? Yeah, Pennsylvania, now in Pennsylvania. That's amazing to see as God uses this house to start raising up other houses around this region. And I'm telling you, that's a sign. You know, anything that's alive grows. If something stops growing, it's a sign it may not be alive anymore. Thanks for all the shouts. People don't want to hear that in this generation, but growth is a sign of life. You know what else is a sign of life? Noise. Amen. You know, when that baby comes out of the womb, if it's not making any noise, what does that doctor do? Pop! Until that thing starts crying. Crying's not a bad sign from that baby. It's a good sign. Means that the air canals are open. It's breathing. It's alive. It's out. And that's why when you see a church, they stop making noise, they might have died. But God's looking for noisy people. He's looking for growing people. Amen. So when you see growth, that's what an uproar is. It's a form of noise to let people know we're not satisfied with the way things currently are. We don't just sit back and take life as it comes. We're not satisfied with the status quo of this generation, but we're standing to declare, I refuse to let things go as the devil planned them to go. I've shown up here to say I object, and I've come to make a change supernaturally by the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's what's happening through these meetings, and so I'm thankful. So a big thank you to every person. God is so happy. I told him last night, just on that final night, was young people were coming to give their heart to Jesus right there by the platform. I said, listen, we had a whole rows of people getting saved. I said, the Bible says all of heaven rejoices when just one person, just one, gets saved. So imagine what goes on in heaven when you have 20, 30 people get saved. Imagine what goes on when you have 100 people saved. You see what I mean? And see, this is what's taking place. Not only are people being saved, but delivered and empowered to do what they're called to do. We are literally, and I say we because I feel a family part of what God's doing, literally raising up the next generation leaders of America. And should Jesus tarry, and he gives us more time before the rapture takes place, we will see this next generation of young people rise up and become spiritual leaders in America. And here's why that's important. We're not raising up young people that are satisfied with just religion. We're not raising up young people that are just satisfied with a form of godliness that denies the power. But we're training them and teaching them to press in for a move of the Holy Ghost until Christianity is not just something we do on Sunday, but it's something that gets somebody delivered from heroin on Monday. It sets somebody free from pornography on Tuesday. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. And then cancer cells and tumors shrivel up on Wednesday. Are you hearing what I'm saying? No matter where you go, people start getting touched, falling out in the Holy Ghost in Walmart on Thursday. Right in the frozen food section while you're getting a tombstone pizza. Hallelujah. That happened to me one time. I felt the Holy Ghost in the frozen food aisle. I was getting a Four Meats tombstone pizza. It's one of my favorites. Pulled it out of the cart. And I felt the Holy Ghost hit me. I just took off shouting in that aisle. There's just one lady in there with a full cart. She looked over and then she left quickly. She said, we're going to give him his space. I don't know what's going on. He's having an episode. You got to not be ashamed to serve him anywhere you go. We serve him everywhere we go. Can you say amen? And I'm excited about this What If campaign. And I know you're familiar with it. Pastor Cody has shared with you. But I'm excited about this What If campaign where we're actually strategically making a plan to hit the schools of America with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Evangelizing students. And it's going to grow and grow and grow and grow. And kids are going to be saved en masse all over the United States of America. Amen. I said amen. You realize we're living in the greatest moments of time that ever existed? that the largest things that are ever happened in Christianity are happening today. Not in the first century, not in the 1500s, today. Where people say, well, nobody's hungry for God anymore. Oh, really? Because it's happening today. They're filling stadiums. Do you realize stadiums have become too small for what God's going to do? Do you know that people are building warehouse-style buildings to hold Holy Ghost meetings, and the buildings stretch longer than a mile? And that's happening today. Not 100 years ago, not 200 years ago. We're living in the greatest hour of time that ever existed. Where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. And God's ready to touch this generation with a fresh move of His Spirit. And I made up my mind, I'm going to be right in the middle of it. Amen? I'm not going to be on the outside looking in, standing on the fringe with a critical spirit. I'm jumping in the middle, and I'm going to be a part of this end time move of the Holy Ghost. How about you? Are you ready for it? Somebody shout amen. Praise God. Thank you, Sam. How many appreciate this awesome worship team? Give them a hand. Tell them you love them. Praise God. I want you to turn with me quickly to the book of Philippians, and I want to read something to you, and I'm not going to take a ton of time this morning. I know we have another service that's coming after this. I know that this first service is the wonderful people that know when they're going to be able to leave church, and so that's a wonderful thing. I love that first service. We are out at 10:30. Praise God. But I can't promise you if I feel the Holy Ghost, we're going till 12. I'm just going to tell you. Philippians chapter 2, very interesting passage of scripture that I want to share with you and encourage your spirit with this morning. And I'll start reading with the fifth verse of the second chapter. And this is in regards to Christ himself. And the Bible says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. I'm reading from the ESV. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now, I love this. Check this out. Verses 9, 10, and 11. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name, not a name, the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Now catch this, in three locations, in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Bible says God strategically gave him a name. No, the name. So there was a name that's, there's none other like it, that God had reserved, and then he gave it to Christ. The name that's above every other name. By the way, we know, don't we, that Christ wasn't his last name. You know, if you're looking him up in the phone book, you couldn't look under Christ. It wasn't his name. Christ was a title. Christ was a title that meant the anointed one. The Messiah, the anointed one. If you're actually speaking to him, and when you call him Jesus the Christ, we shortened it to Jesus Christ. But when you called him Jesus the Christ, they were calling him Jesus the anointed one. Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Son of God, hallelujah. It's a name, the name that's above every other name. And the Bible says that that name carries weight in heaven, on the earth, under the earth. That means that angels have to bow to that name. Start there. Angels have to bow to that name. You know what that goes on to say? And on the earth. That means every human being has to bow to that name. Not only every human being, catch this, every animal has to bow to that name. You know what that means? It means that when Daniel decided to put his loyalty to God instead of the government, that there was a pre-existent power, hallelujah, before Jesus ever even came to the earth, that every knee had to bow, which means even lions in a den had to bow their knee to the name, hallelujah, that was above every other name. Everything has to bow. And then under the earth, that means demons and the devil himself have to bow their knees to the name that's above every other name. And then the powerful thing is that Jesus, before he left the earth, he then gave us that name. He said, in the day that I leave, you'll ask me nothing, but you'll ask the Father in my name. And when you petition the Father, the Almighty God, in that name, that is your passport into answered prayers. That is your passport into breakthrough. That is your passport into healing. That is your passport into increase and overflow. The name that's above every other name. Woo, glory to God. That's a name that nothing can deal with. That's a name that no sickness can deal with. It's a name that no disease can deal with. It's a name that no demon can deal with. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I shared this story with them at the Uproar Conference. If you were there, you may have heard it. I shared it in the day session. I just got back from preaching a crusade for 10 days in Brazil. I was in the western part of the nation. And actually, the town that I was in has a monument. It's the dead center of South America. They actually have a monument there to let it be known. Place was called Cuiabá, Brazil, and I'm preaching. And on the final night, we saw, you know, hundreds, in just, I think, what, 6-7 services, we saw over 500 salvations in just 1 week. Power of God hit the place. The pastor, I have to tell you, it was awesome. The pastor, he had in his church, like, theater-style seats that fold down. He knew, he said, the revival's coming. He said, more people are going to come that can fit in this church. So you know what he did? He ripped out every seat in his sanctuary and threw them into storage somewhere and went out and bought 1,000 of those white plastic lawn chairs and set them all up in his church, 1,000 of them, and then prepared 2 overflow rooms. He said, we're going to have more than can fit in this sanctuary, so prepared 2 overflow rooms. On the first night, the sanctuary was packed with over 1,000, and the overflow rooms held hundreds more in each one. And I'm telling you, people were hungry for the power of God. And every night, souls flooded the altar to be saved. On the final night of the crusade, I was going to pray and anoint every person that came with oil and pray the prayer of faith. And as I gave the altar call, people started flooding the altar to be saved. And I saw one lady come down. And I thought, oh, something's not right with this lady right here. And she came down looking different than everybody else. And she came and stood right over there by the right-hand side if you're looking down. And I got ready to start praying the prayer of faith for salvation. And as I started, I mean the anointing hit the place. As I started praying with the new believers, she threw herself down to the ground and started flailing around and screaming and thrashing on the ground. And she's whipping her head back and forth and, I mean, just freaking out. It was a demonic episode because she was possessed by the devil. She jumps up off the ground and takes off running through the crowd of believers that are getting saved. And she's trying to punch everybody. She's running through trying to punch everyone by the demonic power that possessed her. And 3 ushers grabbed her. I mean, that right there shows you it was demonic. The woman was only about 5'5", and took 3 full-grown men to hold her down. And they grabbed her and put her on the ground, and they started praying in the spirit. Well, I wasn't going to let one episode from a demon take away from all these people being saved. So I just kept on praying the prayer of salvation. And I'm praying in the name of Jesus. And the other thing, let me say this. I wanted to make sure we secured their spirits. Because when I get ready to cast the demon out of that woman, if any of their spirits are unsecured, the devil can enter at will. Because if you're not a child of God, then understand you're a child of the devil, the Bible says. And he can do what he wants with his own children. So I was going to secure their hearts before we cast that devil out. And so I finished praying the prayer of salvation. We gave God praise. And then I jumped off the platform. And it was taller than this. It was probably about this high. I jumped off, hit the ground, and walked over where she was. And I mean, I straddled that woman who was on the ground. And now, I was in a part of Brazil, and you maybe when you go to the bigger cities, like, Rio, or, you know, if you go to Sao Paulo or Rio, they may have people there that speak English because it's a cosmopolitan area. But where I was in the country, no one spoke English. No one spoke English. I had to have an interpreter just to order lunch. You understand? So when I speak English, no one knows what I'm saying. And so I got down there on the ground, and the ushers were around me. I said, and she's still doing the same thing. She's whipping her head. She's thrashing, screaming. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I said, look at me. And when I said that, boom. Her eyes locked right to mine with hatred. If you could see pure hatred coming out of somebody's eyes, it was the demons that were possessing the woman. When she snapped her eyes at mine, I said, look at me. I looked over at my interpreter. I said, see that? The devil doesn't just know Brazilian Portuguese. He knows English, too. That's one of the ways you could tell it's a spiritual thing, because no one there could understand what I was saying except my interpreter, and she understood instantly. Why? Because the power of God carries weight in every nation of the world, and the devil has to listen in every nation of the world. I said, look, I said, you're coming out. And when she answered me back, she answered in English. I said, you're coming out tonight in Jesus' name. She said, no, we're not coming out. I said, you're coming out. I said, you're coming out. And she said, no, I'm trying to resist. I said, no, you're coming out. See, what the devil failed to realize, I had something that he doesn't have. I have the name that's above every name. Hallelujah. I've got the name that's above every name. And I stood over that woman. I said, in the name of Jesus, come out of this woman right now. And that thing thrashed her, just like the Bible says. And it thrashed her, and she, and then it went limp, thing left. And then, which I didn't realize until I got praying for, then a second spirit began to manifest and started thrashing her again. I cast the second one out in Jesus' name, and she went limp and then came to herself, just like the Bible said, came to herself and was asking people, where am I? What's going on? Didn't even know where she was. Completely possessed by the power of the devil. They picked her up, and she walked over, sat next to the pastor, and then they prayed the sinner's prayer with her, won her to Jesus, and then people lined up, 1,500 and 1,600 people lined up, and I'm anointing people with oil, and here comes this woman through the line, looking like a completely different woman. Why? Because when you get changed by the power of God, change your whole life. Here she comes, a smile on her face, looking like a different woman. Hands were laid on her. Power of God hit her body. Now she's saved. Now she's filled with the anointing of God. And what was the key that brought her from death unto life? The name that's above every other name. At that name, every knee has to bow. Hallelujah. Every tongue has to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That thing had to answer to the name. It doesn't matter if you don't have the name. You can stand there and command the thing to come out by your authority all day long. But see, the devil doesn't have to listen to everybody. He has to listen to those who have access to the name that's above every... I feel like dancing. The name that's above every other name. I was reading in Mark chapter 5, and this hit my spirit. In Mark chapter 5, there's a story, as you know, of Jesus. They bring him a boy, a young man, who's possessed, that's Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 5, he gets off the ship, and he's walking through the graveyard. And a man who's filled with demons, we know later, a legion of demons. And the Bible says he was so powerful demonically that they ejected him from the city he was living in because he'd become violent and nobody could handle him, and they'd bind him up with chains, the Bible says, and he'd snap the chains so nobody could hold him. So they kicked him out of the city and made him live in a graveyard. The Bible says where he'd cut himself and just go and live like a wild man, naked, just wild. And the Bible says, if you understand what it's telling us there, is that he was the most powerful spiritual entity in the region. That's why nobody could handle him. He was the most powerful spiritual entity in the region. You understand that he wasn't filled with a demon. When Jesus said, what's your name? And he said, Legion. The historians tell us that was a reference to a Roman legion of soldiers, which was a battalion of anywhere between 4,000 and 6,000 men. And what the devil was telling Jesus was there's 4,000 to 6,000 of us in this man's spirit. So here's a man who's filled with an army of demons and became the most powerful spiritual entity in the whole region. And then Jesus showed up. And the Bible says he landed on the shore, stepped out, and hit the shore and starts walking. And the Bible says the demon-possessed man, he senses a power that is greater than his power. And he, the demon-possessed man, took off running toward the source of the power. And when he got to where Jesus was, notice, they didn't start doing battle. Notice, he didn't slap Jesus in the face and say, this is my territory. He didn't punch him or strip his clothes off or kick him back into the boat. The Bible said when he got there, he bowed down low before him and began to worship him and began to beg him, please do not harass us before our time. You know what Jesus said? Shut up. I like Jesus. You know, there's some things we spend too much time praying about. There's some things that have entered our life we spend too much time contemplating and figuring out what's the prophetic way to get this to exit. There's some stuff you need to just look at it when it tries to come in your house and say, shut up in Jesus' name. Stuff tries to creep up in your body, tries to creep up in your physical things starting to go wrong. You need to stand in front of the mirror. You don't need to pray in speed tongues for 32 days and try to get 17 people to join hands around you. You need to just look in the mirror, point your finger at that stomach where the ulcer is trying to set up and say, shut up in Jesus' name. I feel the Holy Ghost. You need to just address that little devil that's trying to harass your family, harass your life, and by the power of the name that's above every name, declare, shut up in Jesus' name. And because Jesus loves to harass the devil, he loves it. He loves to harass the devil. He takes pleasure in frustrating the enemy. I don't have time to preach on it, but I asked God one time. I said, God, you're all powerful. Why does your word say no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper? I said, you're all powerful. Instead of that, why didn't you just say no weapons will be formed against you? Well, no weapons be formed against you. I said, you could just as easily have done that as saying no weapons formed will prosper. And he showed me. He said, you know, the devil has limited resources and he has limited time. He can't. That's why I laugh when everybody's like, pray for me, the devil's been after me this week. He don't even know your name. There's people that have claimed the devil personally has been attacking them for the past 30 years. He don't even know. He's actually standing before God with a list going, God, I don't even know who they are. I've been looking. He doesn't have the resources to attack everybody individually. And understand this, when you understand that the devil has to take his time to form a plan against you. He has to use his resources to plan an attack against your life. God said, because his resources are limited and because his time and strength is limited, I let him go ahead and work. I let him go ahead and work. It's like the time that I was doing something on my computer and I was working on this project for like an hour and a half and forgot that I did not plug the computer in. It was a laptop. And I never hit save, ever, not once during the project. And as I was getting ready to go and finish it, the battery died. And I was praying, oh, God, when I turn this thing back on, let all my work still be there. Turned it on, booted from scratch. There was nothing left. And I was ready to just punch through that screen. And the Lord used that to show me. He said, see this? This is why I don't just stop the weapons from being formed. You just spent an hour and a half trying to get that thing put together, and now your work is all lost. An hour and a half, you could have been doing other things. An hour and a half, you could have been spending in other places. He said, I let the devil work and work and work and work and work and form problems and trials and issues and different traps against your life. And right before he's ready to hit save and export, I'll come through and kick the power cord out of the wall, and no weapon formed against you can be able to prosper. Woo! Jesus loves to harass the devil. And so he said something, and I'm closing here. He said something to the devil that I always wondered about. Because he never says it to any other demon-possessed person in the Bible. He says, what is your name? And I said, well, hold up. I've searched through. He's not, you know, Jesus didn't ask this question because he needed the identification of the demon he was getting ready to cast out. But understand that this group of demons thought they had it all together, that they were going to run that region because of their strength and power. And Jesus came to make a point in the face of those devils. And he asked them, what is your name? Now, Jesus did not have to know. You know, prophetic stuff got crazy, you know, in the 80s and 90s. We had churches that went prophetic, and they got all nut jobby. And you had, like, up on the screens, you know, I don't even know where they'd find these names, but they'd put up on the screens, these are the 10 names of the demons over Elmira, and we're going to pull them down. And then these 10 are over Horseheads, begin to confess, you know, Baal-Zaleel, we come against you now. And it's like, where did you even find the demon names? It's like, is there like a demon naming book at Barnes & Noble that I didn't? It's next to the baby name book. It's the demon name book. Where do you even find these names? And they used to do that. They'd put them up, and everybody would begin to pray. Prophetic warfare in the spirit. We're pulling these names down. You understand something? We're already seated above those names. You think, you can come back, Sam, you think that we have to be down here on the earth trying to pull demons down out of the atmosphere? I'm already seated far above all principalities and powers and rulers and every name that is named, not only in this world, but that which is to come. And I was asking the Lord, I said, God, why did Jesus ask these demons their name? And you see if this bears witness with your spirit, because this is what I felt in mine. Because it never ever happened again, but it's about what that demon thought he was. The man. And it was almost like it was a rhetorical question. Jesus looking at him saying, what's your name? As if to say, I'll tell you what your name is not, Jesus. Because my name is Jesus. That's the name that's above every other name. So you might be Legion, but I'm Jesus. Oh, he said, if you really want to get down to comparing credentials, you might be the most powerful demon presence in this region, but I'm the most powerful name in this universe. So you might think you're a big dog, but I'm the master of every disaster. I'm the creator of heaven and earth. And today, you're coming out of this man. Woo! Somebody shout amen. And Jesus spoke a word. Spoke one word. But the power of his name carried so much more weight than the power of the army of demons inside that man. Because that name is above every other name. What I'm telling you today is that anything that you're struggling with that can be named is far beneath the name that's been given to you. If it's got a name, it's got a knee. And the knee has to bow. Understand what I'm telling you today? Cancer has a name, so it has a knee. And cancer has to bow at the name of Jesus. Diabetes has to bow at the name of Jesus. Arthritis has to bow. Glaucoma has to bow. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Cataracts have to bow. Drug addiction has to bow. Pornography addiction has to bow. Everything with a name has to come under the subjection of the name that's above every other name. And I don't know what the devil has used to harass your life, but I came to encourage you this morning and tell you, you've got a name at your disposal that's above every other name. And whatever was hanging on you, it's coming off in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe it, stand on your feet and clap your hands and give Jesus all the praise. Begin to worship him. Father, we thank you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I want your head to be bowed, eyes to be closed. There might be people in church this morning that you don't have that name at your disposal. Maybe this morning you're not living for the Lord. Maybe you've never asked Jesus Christ to become the Lord of your life. Maybe you've never given your heart to God. You know that there are things in your life that are sinful. They're holding you back from serving God. Well, let me encourage you with this today. God's not mad at you, doesn't hate you. He's not excited to punish you. He loves you. And he sent Jesus. He sent Jesus to die for you, to shed his blood for your life, to take your punishment so that you didn't have to take it. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're in this church this morning, you say, "Preacher, that's me. There are things in my life that are not right, things that are holding me back from God. And if Jesus were to come today, I want to know that I'm ready to see him. I don't want to miss heaven. I don't want to miss eternity and be separated from God. I want to be right before God. I want my life to be clean." If that's you in this church, you need to pray this prayer right where you're standing. Lift your hand high and hold it high. We're going to pray. I see it there, 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 over here. Who else? Back in the back? Yes. Who else? Over here? God bless you. Where else are you? Let me see you. I see you in the middle. Today we're going to pray in just a moment. I see you in the middle there in the back. Who else? This is your day for a turnaround, for a breakthrough. This is what the name of Jesus can do. It's the name above every name. Those of you that lifted your hands, quickly get out of your seat and come to this altar with me. Come, let's pray. Come on, quick, quick, quick. Come on. Come stand with me. As a family. As a family. Come, come. If you lifted your hand, get out and come. God bless you. My brother, God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. How are you? My brother, God bless you. Who else? If you lifted your hand, get out of your seat and come. Don't wait for another person or another service. Jesus is calling you right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Christians, pray now. This is life or death for people. Life or death. People need Jesus. I need Jesus. You need Jesus. We can't live without him. We need the power of his spirit. We thank him for the power of his name. Hallelujah. 10 more seconds. If you're in this church, you know you need to be at this altar. The Lord's dealing with you. Get out of your seat and come. Get out of your seat and come today. Jesus is calling you. Jesus is calling you. Don't miss your moment. Hallelujah. We're going to pray in just one moment. 3, 2, 1. If you need to come, now's the time. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Those of you here at the altar, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say it boldly. Jesus is changing you forever, so don't whisper this prayer. It's a life change. Say this with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for sending your son to die for me. I ask you now, forgive me of my sin. Make me new. Give me the power to live for you for the rest of my life. Until I die or until you come. Thank you, Lord. From this day forward, I'm a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. In Jesus' mighty name, I'm a child of God. If you believe it, lift your hands all over this house. Begin to thank the Lord. Father, I pray, fill every one of these with the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, touch them supernaturally. Use them for your glory. Keep them from harm and danger. I pray if there's any attack against their body, heal them today. Touch them by the power of your Spirit. And before we go, before you move from the altar, we have some things we want to give you, want to pray for you. But every person, lift your hands that wherever you're standing, I'm going to pray for you now. Even though we have limited time, I want to minister to you even by the prayer of faith. Because whatever's coming against you, listen, we're going to send the name of Jesus against it. the name of Jesus comes against it. Today, hear what I'm saying. Even if I never lay my hands upon you, the word goes forth and heals. The word goes forth and sets free. And so listen, whatever it is you're struggling with this morning, if it's sickness in your body, we're getting ready to send the word to it today. If it's something attacking your mind, we're sending the word against it today. If it's something attacking your children or family or the peace of your home, we're coming against it today by the name of Jesus. And so, Father, right now, lift every hand. I loose it now to every man and woman. Whatever has come against them, whatever is attacking them, if it's sickness, disease, I curse it in the name of Jesus Christ. And I command it to loose them and let them go in Jesus' name. And I loose healing virtue into your body today by the power of God. Every sickness and disease run out today in Jesus' name. Whatever's attacking your peace, your joy, your mind, I rebuke that attack in the name of Jesus Christ. I loose peace. I loose joy in the Holy Ghost. And from this day forward, you'll never be the same. We claim every family member for heaven and for God. We declare, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord in Jesus' name. From this day forward, we thank you. Lord, you're putting everything back together. Whatever's broken, be healed now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We thank you for it, and we give you all the praise. If you believe it, somebody shout hallelujah. Put your hands together and give Jesus praise. I love you. Those of you that are here, write this direction to this wonderful lady in a yellow dress. Would you just come? We have some things we want to give you and pray with you. So if you move this way quickly, then you can return to your seat. We just want to give you some things and tell you we love you. Can we lift our hands all over this house and thank God for new brothers and new sisters in the kingdom of God? Lord, we thank you for every life. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' mighty name, we declare that the final 5 months of this year will be the greatest we've ever seen in Jesus' name. That we will continue to increase and increase and increase by the power of the Holy Ghost. And if you believe it, shout aloud, amen. Be seated quickly. We're going to give you an opportunity to sow a seed financially into this ministry. My wife and I, Carolyn, she'll be here in the next service. We're stepping out by faith, and I'm excited. We are getting ready to do some of the largest things we've ever done. If you didn't hear me when I was here for the partner night, God opened the doors, and we're getting ready to go on television in over 120 million homes on four continents of this earth. It's coming up this year. And I'll tell you something exciting. This is a testimony. A woman came to one of our meetings in Georgia, and she is the accountant for her husband's business. He does carpentry and woodwork. And she said, when you prayed for me in this last meeting, she said, I got home, I was believing God to find other avenues where he would bless me. And she said, I was sitting at my table with my laptop, and she said, I started hearing these letters in my spirit. These letters, I didn't even know what they meant. And she said, but I started Googling, looking them up. And she said, the letters were actually the call signs for corporations on the stock market. And she said, the Lord began, and she said, I've had no training in day trading or the stock market, any of that. She said, but the Lord started telling me which stocks to buy. Think about this. The Bible says the Holy Spirit teaches us all things. She said, the Holy Spirit started showing me which stocks to buy. He'd say, buy this, sell this, buy this, sell this. And when she came back 1 year later, she came in to give us a testimony. She said, this has been happening the last few months. She said, this week, I just hit my first $1,000 profit week. And she said, that's my goal. Every week, $1,000. Well, God didn't let her go long. The next week she texted me. She said, I just leveled up. This week I made $2,500 on this market. And I'm telling you, it's supernatural. She called us back and she said, the Lord just spoke to my husband and I to partner with you for souls. She said, how much does it cost to go on one of those television stations? Just one. I told her how many thousands of dollars it was going to be. She said, my husband and I have made it in our spirit, in our mind. We're going to support, and one of those TV stations we're going to pay for completely by ourselves every single month. Amen? And I'm telling you, God's raising up people that are going to be blessed head and shoulders above the rest. If you believe that, you shout amen. How does it begin? It always begins with a seed that you sow. Every harvest answers to a seed. The seed calls to the harvest and it has to obey. Amen? This is God's system of blessing. And here's what I like about it. We don't have to run around searching for a seed to sow. The Bible says he gives seed to the sower. But you know what? Let me give you one more thing that'll stir your faith. I love this because God does not expect you to have to go without so that you can sow into the kingdom. Because look at that verse. It says he gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Well, let me tell y'all something. I'm the sower and the eater. But I'm not going to eat my seed, but I am going to eat my bread. And God said, I will not only give you seed to sow, I'll give you bread to eat, which means that you won't have to cut into your bread so that you have seed to sow. People that are truly sowers in the kingdom of God, they'll have more than enough for themselves and their family and more than enough to sow in Jesus' name. Amen? The true message of blessing is not God send somebody to bless me. It's God send me to bless somebody. I tell you, get ready because this will be the year. If you've never had this happen for you, this can be the year for you that you're not just paying your bills. You start paying somebody else's bills to be a blessing. That you're not just buying Christmas presents for your kids and grandkids, but you'll buy them for other kids in Jesus' name. You'll not just provide Thanksgiving for your family, but you'll buy turkeys for people that can't buy them for themselves. God is sending you forth to be a blessing in your generation. It all starts with the seed that you sow. And we always pray and we ask the Lord, give us an instruction. Tell us what to do by faith so that we can go higher than we've ever been. So I want you to bow your head. Let's pray. Father, speak to every man today and every woman. Give them an instruction, a leading by your Spirit as to what seed to sow into this ministry today. Let us clearly hear it and step out by faith and obey it. And Lord, as we sow this seed, we thank you that a harvest is coming back that will blow the minds of natural men in Jesus' name. We thank you that we will continually increase until Jesus comes back. We thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody shout amen. Amen. If you're making out your checks, please make them payable to the church. And I'm sure they can give by debit or credit card on there as well. You can give by debit card, credit card, check, gold, silver, platinum, lands, properties, cars used and new, cryptocurrencies. We just do not take your disobedient children because that's not an offering. Amen. Take them home with you. Praise God. Are you ready to give today? When you are, stand on your feet. If you need more time, that's fine. But when you are ready to give, Pastor Ron, do you have anything else that you'd like to say or do? We're going to dismiss you after we receive this offering. We love you so much. And thank you again for all your participation and all of your time you volunteered for the Uproar Conference. Countless lives have been changed over the last 8 years by the faithfulness of this house. And God's going to bless you abundantly for it. Can you say amen? Lift your offering to the Lord. Father, we thank you for the seed you've put in our hand. We thank you for giving us this ability and opportunity to sow into your kingdom. As we release this seed today, Lord, we expect a mighty harvest to quickly come back. Angels, we ask you to go now, get our harvest, bring it back to us quickly. We thank you, Lord, and we give you praise because you're the God that brings us into increase. And we thank you for it, and we give you all the praise. If you believe it, somebody shout amen. Come on, and so today we love you. You are dismissed. We'll see you soon.